Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Thursday afternoon, everyone. I'm Steve Jones. Great to have you with us on the Steve Jones Show today on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And on this Thursday, as always, we are brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484. Again, that's 800-609-9484, or visit Rick online at REWfinancial.com. We're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Lenape Solar Hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Lenape Solar. You can always go to LenapeSolar.com. Coming up today, we'll talk with Tim Newton, my good friend, the play-by-play voice of Purdue football. He'll talk about the great start Purdue had this year and how they have staggered in the Big Ten and what to expect on Saturday from Purdue at Ross-Ade Stadium. Tim Newton will join us a little bit later in the show. Also, a look at Pittsburgh sports with Tony DeFazio from the Pittsburgh Sports Report. We'll talk about the Steelers with Tony today, get an update on them. They have a big matchup with the New York Giants coming up this weekend. We'll also get an update from Tony on what he hears about the NHL lockout and what, if any, progress is being made there. So Tim Newton, the play-by-play voice of Purdue football, and Tony DeFazio from the Pittsburgh Sports Report coming up later in the show. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have Neil Riddell from the Altoona Mirror on the show, and Glenn Mason from the Big Ten Network. So a lot going on over the next couple of days to keep you up to date on everything as the Nittany Lions get ready to take on Purdue Saturday at Ross-Ade Stadium, which will be a 3:30 kickoff and an airtime of 2 o'clock. Jack Hamm and I will have the broadcast for you right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at REWfinancial.com. We'll come back, hear from Tim Newton at the bottom of the hour, but before we get to that, let's go to Above the Noise with Dan Patrick.
Now, you know you've made it when Mark Lawrence starts answering you on Facebook. I mean, you gotta love Lawrence. I mean, he's out there. He's talking about the uniforms. And Sarah, he responded on Facebook.
He did. And look, he's such a busy guy. I mean, obviously, he runs OTM. He does a million things, but he has time to answer our Facebook questions. So we had asked yesterday, we said, okay, 8 games in, how do you feel about the names on the back of the uniforms now, halfway through the season? And he said, Mark says he loves it, give credit where credit is due, and it starts a new tradition. So he is all for it.
Yeah, he's in them. He's all in. The first two games I saw it, Ohio University at Virginia, it just took me a little bit to get used to seeing something else on the Penn State uniform. Because, I mean, I can't read the names. But I was fine with it to begin with. But after that, I'll be honest with you, I don't even notice they're there anymore. It does, and I've had people say, makes your job easier. No, it does not. Today we'll have Tim Newton, the play-by-play voice of Purdue football. He will join us on the show. And that will be today. Did you tell me that Kevin was going to stop in after 4 o'clock?
Grace our presence, yes. He'll be in the 4 o'clock hour. He's going to talk some high school football with us.
All right, well, that's fine. We'll do that. What we're going to do is I'm going to take Tony DeFazio. We'll shift him to tomorrow's show from the Pittsburgh Sports Report, since Kevin's going to be here today. And Lauren Crispell, who is our sideline reporter for Penn State football, a role that you know all too well with Bucknell, will join us in tomorrow's show as well. And Brian Scott of the Buffalo Bills will join us on tomorrow's show. That's tomorrow's show. Today, Tim Newton, the play-by-play voice of Purdue football, will join us. And then Kevin Herr, special guest analyst, next hour. You want to talk about, I mean, just the mere thought that he is coming in as a special guest analyst. It's like putting in the ball on a tee for Miguel Cabrera. Drive the ball deep. Get our guy back. And, of course, we have Sarah here as well. And, Sarah, the Steelers will play the Giants this week.
Yeah, this is a big game. I'm sure we'll get Kevin's take on that as well, being such a big Steelers fan. But, yeah, that's a pretty big game. And for you guys, I mean, look at you, a Giants fan. Do you guys have some bets? Or?
No, I have no. I just watch the games, Sarah. I just watch the games. That's all I do. Watch the games. Enjoy them. Try not to think too much. Just watch. Have to do enough thinking on Saturday. Have to do enough thinking when I'm doing basketball. Now, when it comes to watching other games, don't think much. Now, you have LSU and Alabama coming up, and you have Oregon USC. It's a big college football weekend. Oklahoma State plays Kansas State, and which should be another great matchup between the two. Steve Spurrier believes that Alabama can beat an NFL team. Based on Steve Spurrier's NFL coaching experience, I wouldn't put a lot of stock in that. Alabama, gosh, it looked like they could beat a couple of those NFL teams that I've watched on Sundays. He said on the Dan Patrick Show earlier yesterday, says, I think a lot of the odds makers out there usually know what's going on. I'd guess Alabama would be favored by a little bit. Let me put it to you this way. Alabama had a great team last year. I've seen Alabama in person in two of the last three seasons. Okay? And you have to remember that the best of the best of Alabama has moved on to the NFL because they have great players. And not all of them are making an impact with the teams that they have. Now, there's no doubt that Alabama's a great talent pool. And they produced four first-round NFL picks, but Pete Carroll, the coach of the Seahawks, disputed Spurrier's assertion. Carroll had a similar resume as Spurrier and Nick Saban. All three have won national titles as college coaches. All have spent a little bit of time as NFL coaches. Saban won a national title at LSU, two at Alabama, was the coach of the Dolphins in 5 and 6. They went 15 and 17. Spurrier went 12 and 20 with the Redskins, as Roger can attest to. I'm sure just bringing up what he did in 2002 and 2003 is painful to him. Carroll is 18-22 with the Seahawks, guided USC to the national championships in 2003 and 2004. Says, I was confronted with the times, and the falsehood is to think that they can compete. Says, it's not even close. Alabama's got a great team, and Nick's a fantastic coach, but when you match up the interior lines against regular NFL teams on either side of the ball, it would not be close. Marcell Dareus of the Bills, Brian Scott's teammate, was part of the 2009 national championship team in Alabama. In fact, he played very well in that game. He says, I don't know if they could compete with an NFL team, but they're more disciplined than most NFL teams. So they'd stick in the game with a few teams. They're just coached really well. Now, they are coached really well. There's no doubt about it. Nick Saban has done a great job. Done a great job. But to say they would beat NFL teams, no. No. They're NFL. I mean, A.J. McCarron would be running for his life most of the day. Most of the day. But he'd be running for his life. It's an interesting thought. I mean, that's why I always laugh when I hear about the NBA. Oh, that Duke team, that Kentucky team, they could be an NBA team. Ah, no. Look at the draft. Ask yourself why some of the stars on these respective teams are barely getting off the bench in an NBA game. It's the way it is. Christian Laettner was a great college player, was not a great pro player. Looks still out on a kid like Anthony Davis. First overall pick in the draft. We'll see. There's a reason why they went to pro players in the Olympics and why they're now winning gold medals. College players just were at the point where they just... other more experienced teams were beating them. They were playing hard, but just playing, getting beaten. So the assertion that Alabama could beat an NFL team, I suppose if there were four or five turnovers in the game, it's possible, but that's what it would have to take. In a no-turnover game, there is no way they could win. Just not good enough, not deep enough, not quick enough. I mean, remember, in the NFL, the thing that strikes you about the NFL, what I find interesting is people always talk about X team has tremendous speed. How often have we heard Florida has great speed, great speed? Exactly where are those Florida guys in the NFL right now with their great speed? Where are they? I learned a long time ago, you know, because every, you know, when Penn State played Tennessee, Penn State played LSU, I kept hearing Southern speed, they're no faster. Sorry, been there, seen it in front of my own eyes. People don't like when I say that. That's what's always bothered me. I tell people, look, there's no difference. There isn't. If you, you know, fast guys go to northern schools, too. And all of a sudden they get to a combine, you realize that they stick them on a watch and go, oh. I mean, I always laugh when I hear the combine numbers of 40-yard dashes of Southern players. And people go, oh. And that's the first time they realize there isn't a big difference. The way it is.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Now, there was a suggestion, by the way, that 2001 Miami compete with an NFL team, and I don't think Ken Dorsey was good enough. That's a little more speed in the secondary you're seeing compared to what you saw on an everyday basis. Today's show sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. We're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hubbell's Wharf. And we're about to use the Lenape Solar Hotline at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Lenape Solar. You can always go to lenapesolar.com. And we're going to use the Lenape Solar Hotline now to go to a guy that has seen more slip screens, jet screens, rocket screens than anybody else in the country, Tim Newton, the outstanding play-by-play voice of Purdue football. Tim, welcome.
You mean there are more plays you can run than screen passes?
Yes, there are. And you might see them from the team wearing the white jerseys.
Well, you know, we see them enough in practice. We should be used to it.
Yeah, I bet. Let's get to Robert Marv. All the tools in the world, just doesn't have anything left in his knee. What did you see last week when he had the opportunity to step in at Minnesota, even though some of that was at garbage time, that really swung Danny to picking him to be the starter?
I think we're probably old enough, Steve. We still remember vinyl records, and you could put vinyl records on at any speed that you wanted. And I would say that the best analogy I can come up with is last week Caleb Turbush was playing at 33 RPM, yeah. And Robert Marv came in and he was at 78.
Yeah,
it's a different pace. He's a high energy kind of guy, and he's one of those guys when he comes in, he's going to do something. It may be something good. It may be something bad, but he's going to do something. He's going to change the tempo, and he's going to change the atmosphere. And I think where this team is right now, which, frankly, is not in a very good spot, having not won a game since September, I think Danny Hope realizes he needs to change something here. Putting Caleb Turbush out at Ross-Ade Stadium Saturday in front of whatever fans will be there and having them boo him the first time he throws an incomplete pass is not going to help this football team. So I think it's the fact that Marv brings a little bit more energy. He brings a little bit more enthusiasm. Amazingly enough, even though he does not have an ACL now in his left knee, he moves around probably about as well as he did before. And he even said earlier this week that he's, I think, more willing now to stand back in the pocket and take a hit because it's literally one of those situations. Well, what do I have to lose? You know, I can't blow. I guess he could hurt the other knee, but it's not a situation where he's trying to protect that knee anymore. So he just goes out and lets it all hang out, and he may call the play that's brought out of the huddle, and he may come to the line of scrimmage and do hand signals or draw something in the dirt. You never know with number nine what you're going to get.
I get the impression in either watching him on TV or in the DVDs I've watched, and I say this with all due respect to Caleb Turbush, so you can let me know if I'm off base here, but I get the impression that Robert Marv sees more of the field than Caleb Turbush does.
I think that might be I think he's more willing to take chances, probably much more so than Caleb. Caleb is a much more careful quarterback. We've heard the term game managers, and I know Purdue fans cringe when they hear that term. But Robert, there's no managing there. He sees an opening the size of a pinhead. He's going to try and throw the football in there. And so I think he is, I'm not sure his vision is different, but I think his willingness to throw the football where Turbush will not throw it is certainly something that's evident.
Antavian Edison has caught a pass in 29 consecutive games, and I know Gary Nord tries to get the ball to him in a variety of ways. What does he bring to the table that can make Purdue explosive?
You know, he came to Purdue, I guess it was 4 years ago now, and I think they said he weighed about $140 or $150. And the first time Danny Hope saw him, he said, this cannot be a Big Ten football player. But he's, for a guy his size, he's a pretty tough guy. You go back to the Notre Dame game where he caught the pass in the last couple minutes that tied the game. He took a tremendous hit at the goal line. And it's one of those balls when you go up in the middle, you know you're going to take that hit from both safeties at the same time. And he went up and had the courage to stand in there and take it. He brings a little bit of toughness. He's probably Purdue's best receiver over the middle. And he's also got versatility. You'll see him lined up in the slot. You'll see him come in jet motion. And you'll see him at times lined up as the eye back when they line up in the eye formation. So they do try to get the ball to him as much as possible. You'll see Akeem Hunt used the same way, and he'll also return kickoffs for Purdue. But they've got a bunch of what they consider fairly interchangeable big play guys playmakers, and they try to spread the wealth as much as they can. You don't see at Purdue with this system one guy run the ball 25 or 30 times. That's not their DNA here.
Tim, Hunt's averaging, 9.6 yards a carry, plus we know about the kickoff return he had against Ohio State. But Akeem Shavers last year, I thought, ran really well against Penn State. What has he been doing this season? I know everyone saw the pass where they lined him up at fullback against Ohio State, just give him a little window dressing and then flip him out on that wheel route. But yep. What do you like about him?
Well, he's a very popular guy with his teammates. He was voted a captain. Akeem Shavers is one of those guys, if he says 10 words in a week, that's a pretty wordy week for him. He's a very quiet guy, but he leads by example. He's got a lot of toughness. Came here as a junior college transfer, got his grades in order. He's been a really good citizen. I think his teammates respect him. And I think he brings a little bit of toughness to the backfield. And you'll see him at times flex out, and he may line up in the slot. He may come in motion. He's another one of those guys that they move around. But with Ralph Bolden still coming back from his third ACL, and you'll see Ralph more and more. He started playing a couple of weeks ago against Minnesota and looked a little bit better the last 2 weeks. But right now, Shavers is the number one guy, and I would suspect he'll get the bulk of the carries on Saturday.
K'Wan Short, and I think people around here have heard me say this repeatedly, that I think the three top defensive linemen in the entire conference, and it's take your pick as to what day it happens to be, are John Simon of Ohio State, Jordan Hill of Penn State, and K'Wan Short of Purdue. How well has he played, and how is he after getting himself hurt on that sack of Nelson last week?
Yeah, I to answer your second question first, he, I think, will play this week. Pretty sure he'll play, but I can't guarantee he'll play. He was at practice when I was there on Tuesday, but he was not participating very much. He tweaked an ankle. He says the ankle's 90%. I don't know if he's accurate and what that means, but I think if he can be on the field Saturday, I know he'd like to be out there. I think K'Wan's had a good season. I don't know if he's had a great season. Danny Hope even alluded to that earlier this week. There have been times when he's been dominant. You know, I go back, I think, the Notre Dame game. He had a terrific game and was disruptive and was in the backfield all the time. The challenge with K'Wan is, as I'm sure it is with Jordan Hill and with John Simon, they're going to get double teams all the time, and sometimes it's hard to push two guys into the backfield at the same time and make your presence known. So I think he's had a good season, not a great season. He has had a great season blocking kicks. He's blocked four kicks this year, which gives him 8 for his career, which is the Purdue record, and that goes back to his days as a high school basketball player. He was the center for the state championship team that Etwan Moore played on here in Indiana that beat Eric Gordon's team their senior year. Tremendous footwork, and for a guy who's 6'3 and about 315, dunks a basketball with ease, and he's very, very light on his feet.
Ryan Russell's also back in the groove, and I thought in watching him against Penn State last year, I thought this was going to be one of the outstanding young defensive ends in this conference. Has the injury held him back a bit?
It has, and he's another guy that has just, it hasn't been a serious injury, but he's had a nagging ankle injury all year that really has not allowed him to step forward. And I thought this would be a breakout year. I thought his redshirt freshman year last year he was pretty good, but you thought maybe this sophomore year he would really step forward and be the next guy in that line of defensive ends that we've had here. And we, again, you've seen it at times, but we really haven't seen that sustained effort and that sustained excellence that we were hoping to see. And the defensive line really came in to this season as what was the perceived strength because they could go 8 deep. And it's unbelievable how injuries have hit that unit where I think you've got 6 of the 8 guys on that defensive line and the 2 deeps were on the injury list at some point or another in the last month. And I think it's taken the toll, and that has had a ripple effect. The linebacking core here is not very strong. So if you don't get a pass rush, now those linebackers are exposed in the pass game and they have to make more stops in the run game. And the secondary, which, again, we thought would be a strength coming in, certainly didn't look like a strength last week against Minnesota. So I think the fact that they've not been able to get the consistent rush game after game and put pressure on the other quarterback has really exposed some of the weaknesses in this defense.
Landon Feichter making too many tackles?
Absolutely. You know, he's a high-effort guy, walk-on from Fort Wayne. The funny story there is there were a couple of Purdue players in the old days. Feichter, we had a Ross Feichter way back when, and a Randy Feichter who actually played here and then was an assistant coach. And so when Danny Hope heard about Landon Feichter, he thought it was the same family. Somebody said, hey, this Feichter kid from Fort Wayne wants to walk on. So they said, sure. So Danny comes up to him the first day of training camp his first year here and says, how's your dad and how's your brother, whatever it was, and he said, what are you talking about? He had no idea who they were talking about. So they kind of walked into this guy by accident, but he's turned out to be a pretty good player. He's a little bit undersized for a safety, but he does have a nose for the football. He has 4 interceptions this year, and as you said, he's making too many tackles, but at least somebody's making the tackles right now.
I went into the season with the thought that Ricardo Allen and Josh Johnson would be the top corner tandem in the conference. I know Allen's been banged up. How has it played out there?
Yeah, I think Josh Johnson's had a very good season. He had his first interception for return for a touchdown this year, and he's among Purdue's all-time leaders in passes broken up. And I think he has held up pretty well. Ricardo really, for the last month, has struggled. He had an ankle injury, and then he started to favor that ankle and wound up getting calcium deposits in the other leg. And they sent him for an MRI. They were afraid he had a stress fracture, and so they've put him on some medication to try to break those calcium deposits up. But he's not the same Ricardo Allen that we've seen the last 2 years. And, again, he's one of those guys that has tried to play through this and play through the Knicks, but he has not had the kind of season that I think we would have expected him to have.
The kicking game in recent years for Purdue has been strong in terms of kicking the football. What is the state of it today?
Well, I thought we were going to let you decide this week who the kicker was going to be because we don't seem to know.
I vote for Griggs. No, I'm just kidding.
There you go. The punting game's been pretty solid. Cody Webster has been their guy.
The Harrisburg kid.
They had Carson Wiggs for 4 years, and it's one of those situations where you get spoiled by a guy when he kicks everything for you. So they knew coming into the year that no matter who they picked, the first guy that was going to try a field goal or an extra point, it was going to be his first collegiate kick. They brought in a very highly recruited player named Paul Griggs, and he really struggled during training camp. I think watching him kick, he had completely lost his confidence, and he actually was beaten out at the beginning of the season by a walk-on here from West Lafayette named Sam McCartney. And Sam kicked well early, kicked a field goal in the Notre Dame game, but he's missed 3 extra points. And as we saw in the Ohio State game, those kind of come back to haunt you after a while. So they went back to Griggs, and he kicked a little bit, but he missed and had a couple of kicks blocked in the Ohio State game. So last week they went back to McCartney. I would assume it'll be McCartney this Saturday, but they may decide in pregame warmups. The kickoffs are being handled by another true freshman, a kid named Thomas Meadows, who I think has a chance to step in here before it's said and done. And he'll probably, when Webster leaves, take over as the punter and then compete for the other place-kicking jobs as well.
Well, Tim, as you notice, I didn't bother asking about Danny Hope because I think that's a useless question at this particular stage of the game. And I also think it's also not a question. Putting you on that spot, what they have, you have a crystal ball. I'm not. So if you notice, that question wasn't asked because people say, ask about the coach. Why? I mean, because, again, the people don't understand that, you know, you're not in the decision-making mode. It's just, you know, we all know what's going on in terms of what you read, but there's just no real need to ask the question.
And I wouldn't have anything to tell you
right,
anyway.
Exactly.
But I can tell you this. You know, I sat behind, on the flight home from Minnesota on Saturday, I sat behind our athletic director, Morgan Burke, and there was kind of a vacant stare in Morgan's eyes the entire trip, and I know that there's probably a lot going through his mind right now, and as you know with football, wins and losses are important. Attendance is important. Well, if you're looking at both of those categories, we're not in very good shape right now here at Purdue. We have a 3-5 football team, and we're probably going to have about 25,000 empty seats on Saturday in one of the smaller stadiums in the conference. So I think certainly the next 4 weeks will have something to do with Danny's future. Whether a decision's been made or not, I have no idea. Certainly I think that the expectations were higher than what have shown so far, but I think people would like to see Danny succeed. It's year four. This was a year that was really important in terms of keeping momentum going because Purdue finally made it back to a bowl last year. If you look at their schedule next year and the year after, it is absolutely brutal. We pick up Cincinnati in the non-conference. We've still got Notre Dame. You got Northern Illinois, one of the better MAC teams year after year. We pick up Nebraska, and we pick up Michigan State next year, along with all the teams in our division. So if you're looking at those next 2 years, whether it's Danny Hope or whether it's another coach, and knowing that you're going to go in without Turbush and Marv, so you're going to have either Rob Henry or one of the freshmen at quarterback, it's going to be a daunting challenge for the next 2 seasons. So this was a season that really needed to be positive in case you had that slide, and it hasn't turned out that way.
Tim, it's always great talking to my friend. Can't wait to see you on Saturday out there.
We'll we'll try and keep the rain away. I understand you guys got a little weather earlier this week. Is that right?
Yeah, a little bit of weather. And, I mean, I think it's still overcast here. I think noon was the first time today it really had stopped raining here.
I was going to say, I'm looking out my window now. I do see this yellow object in the sky, so I will confirm to Penn State fans that there is still a sun.
That's because Pete Quinn brings the sunshine with him.
Every day.
Every day. Timmy, great talking to you, buddy.
Steve, we'll see you on Saturday.
Okay. Tim Newton, the play-by-play voice of Purdue football. One of the great guys. Interesting spot they're in right now with head coach Danny Hope. He did not exactly get what you would call a vote of confidence from Morgan Burke. Morgan Burke, the athletic director at Purdue, didn't even mention him by name in his statement. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel. We'll always mention Rick's name. At REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. Supposedly, Kevin Herr is getting close to being in the house.
He's not here yet. He's making his way in.
You notice how that draws the listener in. Al Michaels coming up. No, just kidding. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Our thanks to Tim Newton, the play-by-play voice of Purdue football. Tomorrow, Lauren Crispell, our sideline reporter for Penn State football, on his role. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Brian Scott tomorrow, the safety for the Buffalo Bills and former Nittany Lion, will join us on the show. That's tomorrow's show. Shifted a few things around because Kevin wanted to be on the next hour so badly. And Sarah knows whatever Kevin wants usually doesn't happen, but in this case, we'll allow it.
Right. Today we catered to him. All other days, eh.
Exactly right. With emphasis on eh. So, we're going to talk about high school football in the next hour. Kevin has the playoffs worked out through the end of the Mayan calendar. Very impressive. He also is going to admit to the audience that there's one part that he was wrong about when he made his initial pronouncement over a month ago. He's driving in now going, he's mad now. In fact, that orange shirt he wears, only slightly different than the red in his face. All right. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. Second hour coming up on News Radio 1070 WKOK.